How can a person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. So, Heavenly Father, we pray for your help as we consider it now, that you be at work in our wills, in our hearts, in our minds, that our ways will be your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, we saw that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember that? It's wonderful news. So we can wake up in the morning and say, am I condemned? I am not. And before we go to bed at night, am I condemned? I am not. And we're loved by God. We can see that in this no condemnation. Does God love me? He does. Am I loved by God? I am. Why? All because of Jesus. All because of what he's done. And nothing of what we've done. And what we have done is wiped away, fortunately, by him through his death and the resurrection. So instead of receiving God's wrath, which is in the early part of the book of Romans, we receive God's righteousness. And Paul can say in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. And all of this is by God's grace. He gives us what we don't deserve, and we receive it by faith. Not by achieving some standard, getting certificates in our godliness, but by trusting in Jesus and what he's done. It's what he has done, not what we do. So no condemnation. Hallelujah. And that is only half the story, really, because once we put our trust in Jesus for this no condemnation, how do we live? How do we then live? And Paul has been tackling this for the last couple of chapters, from chapter 6 onwards. We can't just carry on sinning, as he said there. But we do experience a conflict in that we do still. The sin is there, still there in our lives. So chapter 7, verse 18. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So there's this conflict within. We want to please God. The law doesn't help keep us on the right tracks. It just tells us we're wrong. So how shall we live? How shall we live? And Paul tells us here, he rejoices in there being no condemnation and encourages us to live by the Spirit. So here's our first point today. Live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Verses 5 to 9. When you put your trust in Jesus, and you receive this no condemnation status because of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And with him there, you line up your thinking with his. And he helps you to do that gradually and gradually, increasingly through your life. God the Holy Spirit comes to live with you. Now, Paul has mentioned the Holy Spirit before. So flick back a page to chapter 5. And verse 5, he's telling us about the wonderful benefits of being justified by faith. Hope is one of them. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then in chapter 7, verse 6, he said that we would serve in the new way of the Spirit. So when we trust in Jesus, God gives us righteousness, his being right with God, you know, justification, just as if I'd never sinned, the not guilty verdict, no condemnation. So God gives us righteousness, love, his love, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, chapter 5, verse 5, who has been given to us. And so you could say that faith in Jesus, living by faith in Jesus, another way of saying that is serving God in the new way of the Spirit. So no condemnation is for those who trust in Jesus, and that's the same as saying for those who don't live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And it's not a new way of works. It's not just saying, oh, we won't have the law and tick boxes of the law, we'll have the Spirit and tick boxes of the Spirit. No, no, no. It's a totally new way of thinking. It's still faith alone. Well, who is the Holy Spirit, you might be thinking? Who is this Holy Spirit who comes to live in me? Is it like... No, I won't go that way. He's God. He's God, the Holy Spirit. The Bible, as you read through the Bible and look at all of it, you find out that God is one God. in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They always exist together in community and unity, and they're not separate. You can't separate them. It's not that at one stage in history there was the Father, then there was the Son, and now there's the Spirit. No, there's always been Father, Son, and Spirit all the way through. And in fact, all the major moments of this universe and the time, space-time, have involved all three members of the Trinity. The creation, God the Father wills the creation, it's through the Son, and it's the Spirit who's at work in it. But salvation, Jesus' death on the cross, satisfies the Father and his justice by Jesus dying on the cross. And God the Holy Spirit is at work through Jesus in his incarnation, and applying it to our hearts so that we can turn to him. So the Trinity is a mysterious and wonderful thing about God. And the Spirit is part of that. And he is who indwells every Christian. Everyone who turns to Jesus receives the Spirit. Now, early on in the history of the church, in the book of Acts, you'll see that it took a little while for Christians to receive the Spirit. And that was to do with endorsing what the apostles were doing so people knew that this really was the work of God. But as Paul is writing Romans and other letters, we discover that he expects every believer to have received the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And that's a believer, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. You can only say that by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. And Ephesians chapter 3, he writes to the Christians there, and he says, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, he writes to the Christians and says, when you believed, you were marked in him, in God, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. This is wonderful. It's invisible. He is invisible, but he is present in every Christian. So live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. How? How do we live by the Spirit? Well, Paul helps us here. With the Spirit's help, we think in a new way. We have a new mindset. It's a big change. Have a look at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh. Now, this word flesh means our sinful human nature. Remember chapter 7. It's that bit of us that is still, well, we're all still in the world, our whole body, soul, mind, spirit. But there's something about us that still wants to do the old thing, the bad, the wrong way, against God. The sinful nature. That's the flesh word. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. So that's everyone in chapters 1 and 2 of Romans and us before we believed in Jesus. We just wanted to do what we wanted to do. Felt like doing something, did it. That's how the world around us works. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, believers, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. This change is so dramatic, Jesus called it new birth in John 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus. He said, you've got to be born again. With the Spirit. So before we had the Spirit, before we were believed in Jesus, we were like everyone else. We were hostile to God. Where's that? That's verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. We couldn't please God. Verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh can't please God. And so we disobeyed God. And that's sin. And that brought about condemnation. God's wrath. And now, because of God's grace, we're trusting in Jesus. We belong to Jesus. End of verse 9. Belong to Jesus. And the Spirit of God lives in us. Verse 9. What a change. What a wonderful change. It's a bit like when, it's a bit like government, when there's an election and a new party takes over. The whole sort of government changes in different departments. People change, advisors change. The way the departments work change, laws, policies, all these things change with a new party. And here we have a new government in our lives. God the Holy Spirit bringing about change. And with his help, we think a new way. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit, verse 5, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So what are some of these changes in our thinking? Well, we see from other places in Scripture, a greater awareness of sin. So as we go on in the Christian life, we realise there are some things we do that are not what God wants. a greater conviction of sin. We realise that when we go against God, that is actually wrong in the grand scheme of things, and we deserve God's wrath. We praise God that he forgives us, and we turn to God for forgiveness. So conviction of sin. He shapes us to be more like Jesus in our thinking. So think of things like Jesus' list of what it means to be blessed in Matthew 5. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. God the Holy Spirit, how do we live by the Spirit? He changes our thinking to be more like this, to be more like Jesus. Or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those characteristics God works in us and changes us gradually. He uses his word and his people to bring about these changes. So God's word, the Bible, is famously called the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. And the people of God are called the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 2. So God uses his word, the Bible, and his people to help us to change and live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And as Paul goes on now, he goes into four different aspects of this as we live out the life that we have now, trusting in Jesus, waiting for Jesus to return in this world of conflict where we have a conflict within about wanting to go God's way, but still sometimes wanting to sin, but also conflict without, the difficulty of living in a broken world. How do we live by the Holy Spirit there? First of all, trusting in his eternal life-giving power. Trusting in his eternal life-giving power. So the Holy Spirit gives us, who trust in Jesus, new life today and forever. So today, 8 verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, we still live in this difficult world, and that's because of sin, the difficulties. Even though that's the case, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So we're not dead to God. We're alive and in a relationship with him. And that's today, i.e. every day until Jesus returns. And then forever, verse 11, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. So we will be raised beyond death as well. This is the promise of the Spirit. That, once again, is very Trinitarian, isn't it? Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all involved in our life today and bringing us to eternity. But we can trust in the Spirit's eternal life-giving power. So to live by the Spirit is to live in this difficult world with joy and confidence. Even though we have all of today's problems, we have a relationship with the Creator, Saviour God. We have a connection to God. His presence by the invisible Spirit, his care, him hearing our prayers as we go along. This is not the end, what we have here now. And there is a glorious and wonderful future for us to come. To live by the Spirit is to live in joy and confidence, trusting in his eternal life-giving power. Also, fighting sin with his help. Verses 12 and 13, we don't want to give in to sin. We want what God wants. And the Holy Spirit helps us in that struggle, that battle. 8 verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. We've seen that already in Romans. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So we can, with the Spirit's help, put to death this sinful desire within us. What does that look like? The help of the Spirit to fight sin. It comes in the form of the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, prayer, conscience, and Christians. So the Bible, we spend a regular time with God and his word, and the Holy Spirit helps us to know what God is like and to remember that when it's difficult and to delight in him. Helps us to see how to live God's way and have the treasure of serving him and to delight in that. The Bible. Prayer, we can talk to God and know that God hears, but not only that God hears, but God knows what we mean when we can't quite say it properly. And what we need, we can bring to him our weaknesses, our troubles, our frustration, our joys. Bible prayer, conscience. Our consciences, that bit of us that says, hang on a minute, are you sure? It's shaped by God the Holy Spirit. Let it prompt you as we fight sin. And also, his help comes in the form of other believers who we can turn to with our joys and woes and who can encourage us and pray for us. Fighting sin with his help. Trusting in his eternal life-giving power. Fighting sin with his help. In wholehearted dedication to God our Father. The Holy Spirit makes us, Paul says, God's adopted children. This is wonderful, isn't it? Verse 14. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Sometimes you will hear it in the world, people saying everybody is God's child. And that's not the Bible's perspective. Remember that without turning to Jesus, we're under God's wrath. We may be a part of his creation. And he does love us. He loves the whole world. And that's why he sent Jesus. But he wants people to know Christ. And it's those who are led by the Spirit of God, those who put their trust in Jesus and receive God's salvation, who are the children of God. The Spirit you received, verse 15, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Remember that back in chapter 6, this imagery of being a slave or a son, of having a different master was in place. And this adoption to sonship idea, you may be thinking, hang on, I want to be a daughter. Well, the reason that word is there is because it talks about the inheritance that you get from the father who's adopted you. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Abba, Father. It's an Aramaic phrase. We call God Father, just as Jesus did. It's a word used in families. Don't think of it as a childish word, but more of a close personal relationship, a real privilege, the door opened to God himself. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the moment of deepest sorrow for him in his heart as he went to the cross. He says, Abba, Father. Cries out to God like that, Mark 14:36. And the Lord's Prayer is an expression of that, isn't it? Our Father in heaven. Here's the thing. To cry out to God, Father, like this, is an expression of commitment. It's an expression of obedience. To be a child of God is to reflect God into his world, his will and his purpose. So here's what one commentator says. This is Cranfield. He says this. The whole of Christian obedience is included in this calling God Father. For to address the true God by the name of Father with full sincerity and seriousness will involve seeking wholeheartedly to be and think and say and do that which is pleasing to him and to avoid everything which displeases him. I don't know if you know which is the song number one in the songbook Songs of Fellowship, which we use here in church. It's a song called Abba Father. And we don't tend to sing it because I've got an intense dislike to the tune. I'm really sorry. It's a little bit twee and of its era. I apologise. And I think probably that rubbed off of me as a young Christian, and my experience of singing the song was just a mush because of that tune and the sentimentality and everything. But when you stop and read the words, they're absolutely spot on. Let me read them to you. In this context of this passage, Abba Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be evermore your own. Never let my heart grow cold. Never let me go. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. Living by the Spirit means living in wholehearted dedication to God, our Father. So trusting in his eternal life-giving power, fighting sin with his help, in wholehearted dedication to him, through suffering to glory. As adopted children, you might wonder, do we get to walk through this world on a little cloud and nothing affecting us? And you might look around and think, no, that's obviously not the case. No. As adopted children, our great inheritance is just that, something that is still to come, an inheritance. It's on the way, but we still suffer. So we go through suffering to glory. Chapter 8, verse 17. Now, if we're children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and heirs with co-heirs with Christ. So an heir is someone who's getting an inheritance. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Oh, we must have got it wrong. I'm still suffering, says somebody. Well, God reassures that person here. Suffering is a family characteristic for the Christian. Just as our brother Jesus suffered, so we will suffer. And just as our brother Jesus entered glory, so we will enter glory. Remember, the Spirit is the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. And that's what he's going to do with us. More next week in the next section from verse 18 about that. So, by God's grace, believers receive the helper we need. We live by the indwelling Holy Spirit. No condemnation, and God with us. Isn't it wonderful? But will we live by the Spirit? Will we trust in his eternal life-giving power? Will we fight sin with his help? Will we do that in wholehearted dedication to our Father and go through suffering to glory? Let's pray. I'm going to use the words of that chorus to pray. Abba, Father, let us be yours and yours alone. May our wills forever be evermore your own. Never let our hearts grow cold. Never let us go. Abba, Father, let us be yours and yours alone. By the power of the Spirit, and in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.